Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Man who had murdered a family, killed all of them, was brought to trial and presented to the court as ones whose hands were guilty of the murder and the blood of this family upon his hands, the innocent lives that he had slaughtered. And the lawyer said, "Who can take and wash this man's hands clean?" It's quiet in the courtroom for a few moments, and then a man in the back stood and says, "Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse this man's hands." The Bible says in Ephesians 1, verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse a man's hands. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Lord, we give you praise today. Lord, I can't speak the words that these people need to hear today unless your Holy Spirit comes upon our hearts and convicts us and quickens these words to our hearts that we might understand them. We give you praise, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. When we talk about the blood of Jesus, when we talk about the cross, and we've just recently talked about Jesus Christ who died on the cross and on the third day rose again. It was a beautiful Easter time, and our churches were filled. But when we talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, a lot of people don't like to hear that because it was not a pretty picture. It was not a pretty picture when they nailed Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you something, my dear friends. Sin is not a pretty picture. Sin is something that is ugly, and our sin breaks the law of God. It breaks the heart of God. God does not allow sin to come into his sight. It is an ugly reality in life that when we sin, death and judgment prepares for a place called hell. Hell is an ugly place. You don't want to go there. The Bible says it's an awful place where people without Christ will spend an eternity. People don't like to hear about hell. People don't like to hear about sin. But it is a reality that the Bible speaks of. It's not pretty. Death is not pretty. We try to do everything we can to cover up the ugliness of death. We buy flowers. We have a beautiful service. But death is a reality, and it is the payment for sin. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. So the blood of Jesus Christ had to be shed. It was necessary that we might be set free from the penalty of sin in our life. Now, let's go back to the beginning. I always like to start at the beginning of a thing. The beginning in the Bible says, in the beginning, there was a moment in the Bible when God created man in the garden. It was a beautiful place. Oh, I wish we could look on it today. It was just such a beautiful place. The Bible says there was no sin there. Now, I had a picture that one night. I was thinking about no sin there, and I was sitting on the back porch, and a mosquito landed on my hand, and I popped him. And I thought, you know, God, I wonder if there was mosquitoes in the garden. And a thought came to me, and he said, they might have been, but they didn't suck your blood. And I thought about, well, you know, it wouldn't be so bad if those things lived and didn't suck blood. But you know what? It was a perfect place, the Bible says, where Adam and Eve walked in the garden. They talked to God. They had fellowship with God. Everything was beautiful. No wickedness there. No sin there. No violence there. God commanded Adam, the Bible says, and Eve, you can eat of every tree of the garden except the one of knowledge of good and evil. Of that tree, he says, I do not want you to take of that fruit and eat that fruit. In the moment you eat of that fruit, you shall die. Oh, let me tell you something. It was a beautiful place, but there was a rule. There was a law. It was God's law. And he said, listen, you can eat of all the trees, but do not touch this one and eat it, for if you do, you shall surely die. Upon a day, the devil was there in the garden, and he tempted Eve to eat of the tree. He said, did God say you couldn't eat of that tree? You know what? God doesn't want you to be as wise as he is. Because if you eat of that tree, it's going to make you as wise as God. And so she ate, and Adam ate. And the Bible says the moment they ate, their eyes were open, and they looked at each other, and they saw their nakedness, and they saw their shame. Sin brings shame to our lives. And they went and hid themselves in the garden. And God was in the garden, and he says, Adam, where are you, Adam? God knew where he was at. He knew what he had done. But he wanted Adam to realize what he had done. And Adam said, Lord, we're naked. Bible says that because of that nakedness, because of that shame, God took a little lamb and slayed that lamb and took that hide of that lamb and made them clothes to cover their nakedness. You see, somebody had to die. Something had to die to cover their shame. Well, that teaches us, one, that if we're going to approach God, God is holy. He's a holy God, and our shame must be covered. Our shame in our life, you cannot come to God just any old way or any time you want to. If you come to God, you've got to come with the blood of Jesus Christ where it will cover you. Second thing, because God is just, sin must be paid for. If God is going to make someone pay, everybody has to pay. Amen? It would be unfair for God to let some into heaven not paid. There has to be a fairness, and God says everyone sins. Because Adam and Eve sinned, we all have a sin nature. Did you know when I was born into the world, I probably wasn't very pretty either. But I had a sin nature. I had a sin nature, and I, you know, that nature, as I grew, that nature began to show itself. I began to be stingy. I began to all play on people's mother and dad's feelings with that crying spell, you know. You know how it goes. These little babies know exactly what they want and know how to get it. They don't even have to talk to get what they want. Just point. I've got grandchildren too. I kept one last night. She's the prettiest little thing in the world. We call her Curly. Her hair is just so curly. She smiles. Let me tell you, I think all children are pretty, but she is so adorable. But she had Rhonda wrapped around her little finger last night. And about 9 o'clock, she got a bit disagreeable. And that whining and that crying that she has learned well began to happen. Isn't it so good that we can send them home? But let me tell you something. Sin has to be paid for. We have all sinned. And the Bible says we can't pay for it ourselves. Somebody else has to pay for it. In the Bible, God took that innocent lamb. He had done nothing. God slayed it. The blood was shed. His hides covered their shame. The Bible says over in the Old Testament that the priest had to do that. They were continually standing at the Holy of Holies making sacrifices for the sin of the people. You see, God requires the shedding of blood for the sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And he set up this sacrificial system because the Bible says in Romans, the wages of sin is death, and death is the debt that we all must pay for the payment of sin. And if you die today, where will you spend eternity? You must think about that, folks. Now let's go forward to the New Testament. In the New Testament, we find one interesting man. He came out of the wilderness eating honey and locusts. That's grasshoppers. I've never tasted one. Well, I got a little bit one night when I was riding a motorcycle. But that is about as close as I've got to one. And he didn't have honey on him, so he wasn't that sweet. But let me tell you something. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness crying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn your life around," he said, "for the kingdom of God." And then one day he was in the Jordan River baptizing people to the kingdom of God, and he saw Jesus coming, and he cried, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." Now, what does that mean? Well, it is a sign. It's like down on this road, you'll see billboards advertising people's businesses. Well, it was a billboard pointing forward to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself, who would come into the world. He would die on the cross and pay for the sins forever. And unlike the priest in the Old Testament who had to continue making sacrifices, he didn't just cover our sin, he took them away forever. All sin was covered by the blood of Jesus. Teddy and I didn't prepare the same this week. God did that. Oh, the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, God always knows what I'm going to preach, and he always touches Teddy's heart to fit it with wonderful music like he has done this week. But this man, Jesus Christ, when he offered himself on the cross, when sin's debt was paid, he, instead of standing forever making sacrifices for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. Now, the blood of Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for all to take away our sin. Now, in the Jewish faith, the most important day is Yom Kippur. It's the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. And the Bible says on that day, that high priest would go into there with the sacrifice, with the blood, and he would dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. He would sprinkle that blood. Leviticus 16:14 says, "And when he shall take the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat, eastward and before the mercy seat, he sprinkles up the blood with his finger seven times." Now, the number seven is a special number in the Bible. It's talking about the number of perfection, completeness, and the Holy Spirit, God's person to convict us of our sin. The Bible says that Christ completely fulfilled prophecy when he died for us. Because it says in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was there praying in agony, and the Bible says one that sweat drops of blood fell to the ground from his forehead. The first time. The second time, the Bible tells us, when the Roman soldiers struck him across the face, blood fell to the ground from his face. The third time, the Bible tells us, when they whipped him with a cat of nine tails and that bones in there opened up his back, blood fell to the ground. The fourth time, the Bible says, when they pulled the beard from his face, blood flowed from his face and wounds and fell to the ground. And then when they took that crown of thorns and pressed upon his head, the Bible says the blood fell. And then they laid him down on a cross. And the Bible says as they drove those spikes through his hands and feet, blood fell. And the seventh time, the Bible says when he commended his body to the Lord, his spirit, they took a sword and ran to his heart, and blood and water fell and came to the ground. Seven times, the Bible says the blood, the perfect sacrifice of God's own Son, not only covered our sins, it removes our sins completely. Now let me tell you something. Now, when I came to Jesus in 1975 and gave my heart and my life to Jesus Christ, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ covers our life. My old sins, the past, was wiped clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. He covered every sin that I had ever committed in my life. I don't have to worry about those sins anymore, for they are gone. God is not going to bring them back up to me at any point or time in my life. They've been covered. I've been washed clean. If you've accepted Jesus Christ in your life, your past is this, that. The past is past. God says you are a new person in Christ Jesus. You have been born again. Don't let the old devil keep bringing up the past to you. Your sins have been washed clean and covered. Not only that, any sin that I commit in this life, and I do commit sin, we've all sinned. We've all lost our temper. We've all done things that are displeasing to God. But the blood of Jesus Christ not only covered my past, it covers me presently. The Bible says, if we will confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means when I sin, yes, the Holy Spirit of God right here in my life, he lives there now, for the Bible says, when I accepted him, he sealed me with his Spirit. And the Spirit of God lives in me. He lives in you if you've been born again this morning. We are His church. He is making us, preparing us for that great home going, whether in this life or in the rapture. We have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no more sin in our life that Jesus Christ hasn't washed clean and paid for by the blood. But what about the future? Let me tell you something. My sins are gone. I've been set free. There is nothing, no, nothing that can hold you down. You see, a lot of us today are wandering around and saying, well, you know, Lord, I don't know if I can live. You can't live a perfect life. The Lord knows that. But let me tell you something. When He comes, when He takes you, we'll be glorified. And then we can live in heaven perfect with Him. Oh, our sins, past, present, and future, are gone. When Jesus died on the cross, it was a sacrifice that removed sins forever, completely. Now you can come and you can see that the cost of redemption, it cost God His Son to take away our sin forever. The only question here this morning, have you been to Jesus? I like that old song. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let me ask you, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? It's a simple question. It just requires a yes or no. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? If so, your chains are gone. I don't know why you're being held down. Let me tell you something. If you've got old sin in your life, you haven't confessed it, it'll chain you down. You've grieved the Holy Spirit. Now, we can grieve the Holy Spirit by the way we live. You know, I believe it grieves God when we don't come to church. I believe it grieves God when we don't read our Bibles. I believe it grieves God when we go to places and see things that we shouldn't see, because God lives right here. He sees everything you see. I told him Wednesday night, these hands belong to God. They're God's hands. These feet belong to God. They're God's feet. This mouth, this voice belongs to God. It's the way God communicates to the lost and dying world. And we should not be doing things displeasing that would drag God's name down. We ought to be lifting Him up. You see, lift Him up. He says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw people. Folks, we need to lift God up by the way we live day in and day out. These are His hands, His feet, His voice, His ears. He actually lives in each one of you that have been born again. Get that through your head. If you do not witness for Him, they won't hear. I said Wednesday night, there is no plan B. If we're not winning a lost and dying world, then we're not doing what God wants Him to do, or wants us to do. Folks, we need to be God's hands and God's feet. Listen, the blood has to be applied to your life. Over in the Old Testament, the plagues were coming to Egypt. The last plague was the plague of death. And God told His people, He said, listen, you get the blood of a spotless lamb, and you take it and you spread it on your doorpost. And when the death angel comes by, he will pass over that house when he sees the blood. Now, let me tell you something. What if this young man or young boy says, you know, I want to go outside and I want to go to the Egyptians shopping mall if they had one. I don't need to be under the blood. After all, I'm a Hebrew. I'm a child. I'm a God's people. And he didn't go in the house under the blood. He would have died because he did not obey God. He would have been just like the Egyptians. He died because he did not do what God said. He said, get into the house. And when I see the blood, all in that house are safe. Folks, that night God's death angel came, thousands and thousands died. You could hear the wailing from the houses and the crying. But you know what? Those who had come in under the blood of Jesus Christ, they could rejoice because their lives were hidden with Christ. And just because Jesus Christ went to Calvary and shed his lifeblood upon the cross, and someone says, well, he died for sinners. He does. He did. But just because he died for sinners doesn't mean that you automatically will be saved. He said, you must apply the blood of Jesus Christ to your life. And simply, that means you must come to him and say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I want you to come into my life. I want to live for you. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. Then he says, if you will do that and live for me, that means turn your life around. Start living for God. Confess me before men. That means that wherever you go, listen, you're going to pray and you're going to say, hey, I belong to Jesus. I've been bought with the blood. My sins are gone. I've been set free. You see, faith in Jesus Christ is, for by grace are we saved through faith. Faith is us believing that what Jesus Christ did on the cross will save us. I believe that. I believe that he died. I believe that he was buried. I believe that he rose again the third day. But you know what? I also believe that he's coming back and he's holding me accountable for what I do with my life. When I got saved, there came a responsibility with my life. Paul says to the Corinthians, hey, you need to quit being babes. You need to start eating meat. That means we need to feed upon the Word of God so that we might know. I preached Wednesday night on the Antichrist. Let me tell you something. We're living in a world today that is turning away from God. It's being prepared for the Antichrist. He's coming. Why do I know he's coming? The Bible says he's coming. And it says, don't be deceived. And if you do not feed upon the Word of God, you don't hide your life in Christ Jesus, you will be deceived. And you will spend an eternity lost because you didn't come to Christ. Repentance is simply turning from sin and turning to Jesus Christ. Repentance is changing your mind about sin. You know what sin is? Sin is ugly. It's ugly. Let me tell you something. I loved that little girl last night. She was so pretty. Me and her played. She comes up to the arm of my chair, and she can't crawl up the other way, so I pick her up and sit over her, and she'll look and she'll smile. She's so pretty. But let me tell you something. when she started getting irritable and started crying, that prettiness didn't look so pretty anymore. That's true about our lives. Sin is not pretty in our lives. You see, it's ugly. And God doesn't like to look at our life with ugliness there. He wants you to come to Him. Let me ask you something and then I'll close. Would you come to God if you've never trusted Him as your Lord and Savior? Wouldn't you just like to come down and say, God, I want to be set free this morning. I'm in bondage to sin, the old devil, the things of the world. Lord, would you set me free this morning? I want to be set free. The Bible says if you'll ask Him, He will clean your life up because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. In Him, the Bible says, you don't get it any other way. In Christ, in Him, we have redemption. He buys us back. You know, we were His in the garden, but we fell. We sinned. Redemption means He died to buy us back. He gave His blood for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Wouldn't you like to come this morning and wash yourself clean in the blood of Jesus? He died for our sins. He was buried for our sins. He rose again, and He takes away our sins. Wouldn't you like to come to Him? Maybe you're here this morning, and you've been saved, and you know the blood of Jesus Christ washed your sins away, cleansed you, but you have sin in your life. You have unconfessed sin in your life. You've been unpleasing to God. You haven't been doing what you should have been doing as a Christian. You don't need to be saved again because you can't get saved but one time. You just need to come and say, Lord, I know you came into my life, but I have failed you. I want to confess that. And He says the moment you confess those sins in your life, He will forgive you. He's faithful. Man, He's picked me up time after time. I know He'll do the same for you. He'll set you free. Maybe you're here this morning and you're looking for a church home. And this is the place God has led you. Would you come? Simply come down and say, Preacher, you know, God has led me to this church. And I want to know how I can become a part of this church. I'll be glad to share with you. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Let your Spirit work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.